Welcome to the sidelines. We are back after a two-week break. I am Matt Dolliff. I am here with my co-host, Ty Anderson. We each had to take a week off before this week came out, and I think you're starting to see why. All the sports are actually starting to come back, and there's shitstorms all over the place. There's scream shit going on Twitter. There's just shit everywhere at this point. Ty, how are you managing to rummage your way through the shit?
Better than I was a week and a half ago.
That's good, yes. Yeah. We don't have to get into the personal stuff, but yeah, Ty and I needed mental breaks, and I think it's helped tremendously.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't mind getting into it. You know, it's just for me, there's a lot of stuff that I kind of deal with that I don't really make known because I just don't really like telling social media everything.
Yeah, it doesn't usually lead anywhere good.
But this audience is small enough where I don't mind talking about it. No, for me, it's just I've always told people, like, I hate, like, the reason I hate telling people, oh yeah, you know, I suffer from depression or whatever you want to call it, is because I think that people automatically assume, like, you want to die. Never want to die. Never had the feelings of I want to die. I don't want to be here. For me, it manifests itself in different ways. The number one way being I just disengage. I will just not do anything. I will lay in bed all day. I will not answer texts. I will not answer calls. I will dissociate with everything that I do and everything that I like. And for about a month and a half, I was feeling that way. From about June on, I would say I was feeling like every day was a fucking grind. Every day was like, I really don't want to get out of bed. I really don't want to go to sleep. I really don't want to do anything. I want everyone to leave me alone. I don't want to talk to anybody. And that was hard and it sucked. And it hit a breaking point about 3 weeks ago, I would say, where I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I need to go away for a little while.
Right.
Because that's the thing for me. It's never been a you know, I think, again, for other people, it manifests itself in different ways. But for me, I disengage. I can't do my fucking job at all. I can't do anything about my job when I get like that. I sit down and I write a sentence and I go, well, that looks like shit. And no matter how many times I do it over and over again, I have that feeling. And then I feel even worse about myself. And then that's it. That's the day. There goes the day. And so there was just a lot of that going on. So basically I just shut down the internet for a couple of weeks. I went skating like every day. I went outside every day. I basically did whatever I had to do to just kind of basically empty out my mind, like sort of declutter my mind and get rid of that fog that I kind of felt anytime I sat down and tried to do something. And I think both of us, and we've been pretty open, you more than me about the things that we deal with, but for me, that was how it was manifesting itself, and I wanted to do what I had to do to get right for you, for Alex, for, you know, the readers, for the listeners, for the playoffs, because I want to be close to 100% for the playoffs.
Right.
You know, and that was important for me, and so just taking time off here and sort of saying, you know, putting myself first, you know, for the first time in my life, I think. And saying, okay, this isn't something I can just work through, I think was very important. And I hope that, you know, I'm a complete nobody, but I hope that me, you know, being honest with myself allows, you know, one or two people out there to be honest with themselves and say, okay, you know, this is happening and this is what we're going to do about it. And I just think that, you know, I can't say enough about, you know, everybody from, you know, from a member of Touch and Rich to Felgramath, Adam Jones, you know, to Weekenders, to people in other organizations, Boston Bruins, Golden Knights, you know, Maple Leafs, Canadiens, like the people who reached out to me really took me by surprise, overwhelmed me, but really made me feel, you know, very, very comforting, I guess, knowing that we're all fighting some sort of bullshit right now, just with the way the world is, the way everything is. To have that support and kind of people reaching out from all walks of life and saying, you know, hey, you got this. That was cool. And I think a lot of people, you know, need to feel that way as well.
Yeah, no, that's a huge outpouring of support for you. And, you know, glad to have you back. I'm glad that it's gone back in the positive direction for you. And yeah, I mean, I try to share like what's worked for me, but I know that not everything that's worked for me is going to work for everybody. But I think as long as, like you said, we probably should, everyone should probably worry about themselves more than anyone else in their lives. I mean, I know it's different if you have like kids and like, you know, worry about yourself and your own family before like anything else. I think if we all took care of ourselves better, then we'd probably all treat each other better. I know I might be coming off trying to make some pretentious, profound statement, but I just think the breaks we took and the stuff we've done to better ourselves has made us better. And I think for the sake of our audience, like you said, it's better that we reached the breaking point and took our mental breaks right before the sports start to ramp up, rather than right smack in the middle of it, even though it seems like the virus is going to put an end to everything.
That's right.
Yeah, we can get into, let's get into the sports now. We don't have to, yeah, you know, we don't have to play Dr. Phil with each other for an hour. Patriots have like 90 guys opting out. So we're going to, I think you and I are going to have to strap on the pads. I'll play long snapper. You can, I think you said you were a kicker.
Yeah.
Kicker. Okay. So you'll be the kicker. I'll be the long snapper, and just every play will be a field goal attempt. That'll be how the Patriots are going to have to play. And I think that's the only way that they're actually going to tank for Trevor Lawrence, because obviously that narrative's coming back because they lost Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung and Marcus Cannon and Brandon Bolden and two guys who didn't play for the team last year.
That, and there's the idea that there's a mutiny happening, which is like, weird time to have a mutiny, guys. And
yeah, no, Hightower, we all know how much Hightower hates Bill Belichick. And
he said it.
Patrick Chung especially. Nobody has done more to hurt Patrick Chung's career than Bill Belichick. That's what I've been saying all along. So
yeah.
And now people are going to have their stupid takes. And there's I know Schefter put a tweet out there that was probably, I'm sure it was facetious, sarcastic, whatever. This guy's like, well, Belichick has been masterminding this whole thing. It's just all planned. And you know what? I'm not totally against that. You know, I'm just saying. Made sure he had plenty of box safeties on the roster. Drafted all kinds of linebackers, whether it was inside or outside linebackers, and signed an absolute fuckload of special teams players. That's all I'm saying.
No, I can see that. And what I would say, too, is that when it comes to just the status of the season and how realistic it feels right now, can we maybe consider that Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, like, you know, the guy who's like a doctor, was the first guy to opt out? Like, maybe he has an idea as to what's going on. And I think I'm genuinely curious if the McCourties are next.
Duvernay-Tardif should be like house of that show.
Yeah, exactly.
Just go around other teams' facilities just shitting on them for ignoring science and protocols and all that stuff.
Well, I thought what I Devin and Jason brought up on their show on Sunday was absolutely true, where they said that they're worried about guys following the protocol. And I think that's the biggest reason why players are opting out right now. I don't know if it has anything to do with the NFL safety measurements, which I would probably, if I had to guess, are not the best in the world. But, you know, the idea of football in a pandemic is kind of silly to begin with. But I just look at it this way, that you have 32 teams. Every team's going to have, what, a 70-man roster, we would assume, you know, just to have, like, sort of that backup in the event of a breakout.
I think it was 69. I think they said 16 players on the practice squad.
Yeah. So, but you're going to say that 32 different organizations with 70 guys, plus a coaching staff, plus a training staff, plus, you know, whatever, they're all going to have to follow protocol, and they're all going to have to follow rules. The NBA can't do that with 15-man rosters.
Yeah, with a fraction of the players, yeah.
Yeah, it's just impossible to sort of have that standard. I mean, you're seeing it in baseball right now, right? The Marlins had three guys. They had, quote-unquote, no talks about not playing, and now look at them. It's led to two canceled games. Have they canceled tonight's games too? You know, with the Marlins and the Phillies, like have they canceled their games?
They canceled
as well?
That, yeah. And the Nationals are canceling their game that was going to be after that. It's a domino effect.
Yeah, exactly. And so I look at this and I just say it doesn't feel realistic. You're asking people. A person is smart, right? Men in black line. A person is smart. People are dumb. The more people you ask to follow the rules, the more likely it is that those rules are going to be broken. And that's how I feel about this NFL season.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the Patriots, it could just be a confluence of events. Like the Hightower and Chung, Hightower just had a baby. Patrick Chung is expecting a baby. Marcus Cannon, I completely understand because he's at risk. He has complications from surviving non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And, I mean, apparently David Andrews is not going to opt out, even though I thought he would be the first one to opt out because he had blood clots in his goddamn lungs less than a year ago. So, I mean, he's going to risk it. And there goes the they left because of Tom Brady left narrative. Because, I mean, he's going to stick it out with his all blood clotty lungs and Cam Newton being the quarterback instead, or Jared Stidham. But I think it was Jeff Howe, the great Jeff Howe, tweeted that I think this is the end of the opt-outs for the Patriots. So I guess we are going to get to keep the McCourty twins around, which I know they've been in the headlines because they have that podcast. So they're going to say stuff and people are going to listen to it and make stories out of it and whatever. So I don't know. Hopefully it is the end of the opt-outs. I just want to think, like, I don't know how much of an advantage the Patriots would get over this, because I think the deadline to opt-out is August 3rd, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like a week from now. I don't know. Maybe Bill said to all his guys as they were reporting to camp, it's like, guys, if you're going to opt out, just tell me now. I don't want to go through a week of camp with you and then find out that you're opting out. Like, just tell me now. If you're not opting out now, you're opting in. And that's why the Patriots have six guys opting out and every other team is not even nearly that amount. So we'll see.
Well, there had to be a part we texted about this. There had to be a part of them too that, you know, when Vitaly opts out and the lineman, I'm forgetting his name right now.
Ajay Terran.
When he opts out, you know, that comes a day after they had cut nine players, right? So I'm curious if that sparked them saying to the rest of the roster, hey, you know, before we cut any more guys, if you're going to opt out, let us know, because we don't want to potentially lose these guys for, you know, if we have them and now we're going to lose them. So I do wonder if that maybe there is not a mandate per se, but, you know, a message sent out to the rest of the team saying, if this is what we're going to do, you know, let us know by the end of the day or by, you know, they had the deadline. That's great. But maybe he's asking as a kindness to, you know, to his players to let him know in advance. And you know, to the point we're talking about, right, with, I think with Hightower and Chung being among the guys that are doing it today, that speaks to the respect they have for Belichick and the organization to sort of, you know, allow them that proper time, if you will, to maybe address them walking away.
Yeah. I mean, of course, it's like, it's the Patriots. So, like, there's going to be an absolute shitstorm on Twitter and nobody's going to be able to wait to get their takes out, me included. But, I mean, I'm just sort of messing around with everything I'm saying. I don't know that Bill Belichick saw this coming. I don't know that he's trying to tank. I don't think he is. I don't know anything. And I don't think that it's going to be any worse for the Patriots than it is for any other team. I think we're going to see more opt-outs in the coming days. And I think by the time the deadline hits, every team is going to have a handful of players saying, I'm out of here.
It's just a little disconcerting
that the Patriots have the most players, and like by far, I think the pretty sure Hightower is like the best player, the most talented, right? The most accomplished player to opt out, right?
Yeah, I would say probably given his Super Bowl track record and how he's performed in those games, it's tough to find a comparable sort of player. I think the closest will be if a quarterback opts out, like an actual upper echelon quarterback opts out. I think that would be something that I would say, okay, well, that's as valuable.
Has Kaepernick opted out yet? We need to get that out on Twitter. Guys, I have decided to take a stand against COVID, and I will opt out. No, teams that wanted to sign me, you may not sign me anyway.
I don't know what he's doing. I have no idea. And
he's working with Disney Plus on his documentary.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where
does Clowney go? Does Clowney
opt out? Nothing wrong with that. I just don't pretend you want to play football at this point, is all I would say about that.
There's no market for Clowney. Does he opt out
and say, that's coming up again too now, because the Patriots have like $23 million in cap space or something.
Yeah. And if you lose,
that's like, I don't know, maybe if you could get him for like 1 year and, you know, $15 million or whatever, then I'd be on board with that.
Yeah.
I was just like, when people were saying, like, as soon as they like they like sacrificed a couple children, a couple live chickens, and then made someone take a pay cut, Rex Burkhead, and then they're like, oh, they got $6 million now. Let's go sign Clowney. It's like, guys, they need that money. They're not just gonna go immediately. Like, this is, and I know for experience, because I have terrible with money. The second I come into some extra money, I'll fucking go out and spend it, and then spend the next couple days crying into a bowl of ice cream, regretting that I spent the money. And it's like, why? You really think Bill Belichick's going to clear all this cap space and do all this shit, pull all these strings just to immediately go out and immediately put himself back in cap prison? Like, they're going to have to sign players during the season. I guess it's different now, because now I guess we don't even know. Like, I don't think they're going to call off the season anytime soon, but they're gonna try to have the season, and then hopefully there's no Miami Marlins-esque domino effect going on.
They can't call off the season because it would literally destroy the economy. Like they're going to absolutely try to play through this as best they can, because if the NFL cancels the season, I'm pretty comfortable saying that me and you will not have jobs. Yeah. I'll go out there on record and say, because I just think that there's so much money attached to the NFL and people involved in the NFL that they can't afford to not play. I don't know.
We have a very great company here, 98.5 The Sports, a very successful station, knows what they're doing. I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say it's a bad company.
I'll cut that part out.
I'm just saying that, you know, Patriots make a lot of money for a lot of people.
They are a cash cow. We are a cash cow. That is for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been saying all along, and I maintain this, that, like, you had to expect that there were going to be some positive tests. Like, the Marlins thing is a little over the top because they had, like, several players test positive, and they all just kept wiped back out there and kept playing. Mm-hmm. And, like, did they basically not tell anybody? They went about it pretty irresponsibly, and they're doing it outside of a bubble scenario. But, I mean, there's obvious concerns there at the NFL because, like you said before, you're talking about rosters that are five times big, or twice as big as a baseball roster.
Yeah.
And you guys crashing each other's brains into each other over and over again, 60 times a game. Like, I don't know how you avoid some kind of breakout without having a bubble where you can't go outside, can't do anything. They are going to have daily testing. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that would help. And they do have the expanded rosters, but I don't know. Now we're looking at several months of getting through a whole season without any kind of disastrous outbreak. And it's like, I don't know. I think that their only option might be to accept that guys are going to catch the virus, and we have to go with a herd immunity approach. And if a guy catches the virus, he has to quarantine wherever he is and not go anywhere, and just keep getting tested until he's safe to go back. And I think that might be their only option, because I think outside of guys like Marcus Cannon, guys that like would have like added risk, like the guys, they're gonna be okay. You're gonna catch the virus; it's gonna go away. And I know there's the whole thing about living with complications afterward, but I don't think we know enough about that part of it yet. I don't want to root for the season to be over. I think everybody wants there to be a football season. I think the reality is we have to accept that there's gonna be virus outbreaks. There's going to be concerns about that going on. There's going to be Twitter scream shitting every time it happens. And we're just going to have to soldier on through all that shit.
Yeah, I mean, I want there to be a season. I'm not saying I don't want there to be a season. I'm just saying I really wonder. I just wonder at this point. Because
there are plenty of people out there. I wonder how much you like sports. You know?
Yeah.
I know you do. I'm not saying you. I'm just
saying. Like, baseball.
How much do you really care about sports if you're just like, you know, shut it down! No!
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, there are people who I remember seeing on social media in March and April saying, shut down the NHL season, shut down the NHL season. And now the season begins on Saturday, and everyone's like, oh my God, I'm so excited it's back. I'm like, oh, it's almost as if you shouldn't just shut things down immediately. It's almost like you should wait and see what happens. I'm not advocating for a shutdown. I'm just saying that given the problems that the NBA is having in the bubble, given the problems that the MLB is having without a bubble, I sort of look at the pure roster size and the magnitude of what the NFL is trying to pull off. And I say, not sure this is going to work. I don't know if this is going to happen. And maybe you just push the season, you know, maybe you start October 1st instead of September, whatever it was. But I'm not. There's some holes in the infrastructure here that I think need to be fixed before we actually talk about, you know, week one happening in general.
and that's going to be the first game. Like, these games are going to suck if they happen. Teams aren't going to be ready. But that's my that goes to my other point, where I think Bill Belichick might just have the Patriots better prepared than everybody else, because he's going to focus on the fundamentals and all that stuff, and the situational stuff like he always does. And everyone else is going to look like a mess compared to the Patriots. That's my prediction. That's my prediction. The Patriots are going to suck now, and then Bill's going to shove it right up their arsehole.
Yeah.
What problems are the NBA having in the bubble? I thought they were doing well.
Well, no, they're doing fine, but you've had guys like Lou Williams, getting food at the strip club.
I heard about that. Yeah,
you've had they had another player, I believe it was a Kings, Sacramento Kings center,
Willie Cauley-Stein. I don't even know if he's still on that.
No, team. I don't think he's there anymore. No, they had a player who left the bubble to go pick up food. And that's a violation of quarantine.
Wasn't that like a month ago, though?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like they're having a hard time keeping their 15 guys per roster.
You'll have one asshole, one stupid idiot, breaking the rules or saying, I don't need to break the rules, Dwight Howard not wearing a mask. I was by myself. Just put the mask on, for sake.
So you apply that logic, right? And now you apply it to the NFL, where they can't get Tom Brady to stop holding group workouts. In literally the COVID cafe of Florida,
COVID's anus. Florida.
They can't be like, dude, can you just stop doing this for like a week, please? You're going to kill us. Stop it. They can't get him to do that, and Brady's been silent on everything that the NFL had, NFL players have said, Brady, we could use you right now. He's just been silent, as far as we know.
He put out this generic tweet, and I thought it was cringeworthy, to be honest. It's just the words don't match the actions. It was such a clear, obvious, I'm going to put this fake pandering tweet out there. We have to work together, or whatever he said.
Yeah.
And Tom, just stop. Just don't. Running around without – you're being spotted in public with no mask. You're going out practicing when people are telling you not to do it, which is fine. I'm not going to get on my high horse too much about Massachusetts, considering how many old people we killed earlier in the year. But the tweet did not match what he was actually out doing. So it's that I did not love from Tom Brady. But
yeah, it's just I don't know if you can get everyone to be on the same page. Maybe they do. Maybe they all.
There's no way. No, no way. We can't get everyone on the same page with it in general.
No, it's great. I'm a big fan.
But maybe the Patriots though. Bill Belichick is the best ever at getting all the players on the same page on the field. Can he do that? Can he do the same thing with the COVID? I don't know.
There's one guy who could. It's him. If there's one guy that could, I think he is obviously the one.
Yeah, it's if you think the Patriots are going to be in disarray, what do you think it's going to look like with these teams with these bonehead coaches? How do you think the Browns are going to look? The fucking Jets, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's the Raiders. Do you think these teams are going to have all their shit together?
Probably not. And that's all part of it. You know what I mean? It's just what is the level that, you can handle as a league. Right. And I think that's going to be tested here. So we'll see what happens, but hopefully there's no more opt-outs for the Patriots. Hey, if an undrafted free agent opts out, sure. But another starter on defense. I don't know if you can deal with that. Luckily, they still have Stephon Gilmore. He's not opting out. That's at least as far as we know right now.
Yeah, I mean the quarterback's social distance on the field. He's just in contact with that one guy that he's absolutely wiping out of the game. So thank God they'll still have him. Cam Newton's not opting out. Imagine Cam Newton just opted out after all the hype videos and after saying, I'm tired of being humble. He just comes out tomorrow sorry, guys. I decided this isn't safe enough for me. I'm going to
just smoking a cigar. And you're like, should you be doing that?
He literally just spends the next year posting workout videos and not going anywhere football related. He's just like, I'm going to show the haters. I'm going to show them. It's like, Cam, it's been 16 months.
Yeah.
Are you going to sign somewhere or what?
Yeah, I honestly, I'm excited though. I'm still excited for the Patriots season. I guess no matter how it looks.
You sound pumped.
I'm just, it's like, I don't want to get too excited. It's been 2020. It's been the year of poop.
It's been an absolute poop year.
Yeah, so I'm trying to like temper my expectations. You know, like, listen, what is it? It's August in like 2 days. You know what was supposed to be happening like right now? We were supposed to be like, the Bruins postseason was supposed to end like a month and a half ago. I was supposed to have seen Tenet in theaters by now.
Supposed
to be getting excited for SummerSlam in Boston. And what am I doing?
Poop.
I'm on month 5 of being inside my apartment and being like, this is cool, I guess.
Right. It's a bajillion degrees in my apartment right now. I'm going to go to my parents' house after this just to be in their goddamn central air. I have three fans, one that's right in my face, and I'm still scorching.
My power went out last night at like 8:30. And
I would just walk outside.
Thing. It was so hot. And I was like, we got to get out of here. I can't be in here. And she's like, okay, yeah, we can go do that. We can go do that. You know, we go outside and we walk around for like an hour and 20. And then we come back in the house because the power came on. We noticed it. And within 15 minutes, went out again. And I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. And I went outside again. I went for a second walk. And then it came back on, and I was like, I don't want to go back out there. I don't trust it. I'm going to go in, and it's going to go out again. But it was so hot, even at, like, midnight, that I was like, I have to go outside right now. And the whole neighborhood was out. There was no lights at all. So I just sat on, like, a park bench with, like, my, like, phone flashlight on. I'm like, this is great. This is awesome. This is what life
is fine.
Like. Funny. Yeah.
This is fine. It's fine, dog, except you are on fire.
Yes, exactly. And surrounded by complete darkness. It was like, I thought Aroldis Chapman. I posted that picture of him just sweating buckets inside my house.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, this is not enjoyable for anybody. So, yes, it's a bummer summer. It's a bummer year. But hopefully it looks like the NHL is going to get back to work.
Yes.
Bruins on Thursday, preseason game. And Sunday will be the first game of the round robin. I'm very excited about that. Although it looks like...
How do you feel about your hockey team, ass?
It looks like they're not going to have their deadline additions ready to go, which is just great, which is awesome.
Neither of them?
Richie
was back.
He's not practicing yet again, which...
Because of COVID, or... I need to be brought back up to speed on this.
I'll tell you what I think it is. I think he's out of shape. I don't think he's in shape. The fact that he hasn't been on the ice for a week with the team tells me that he's not in shape. He hasn't been isolated. He was in a practice last week. He hasn't been, you know, like, I could be entirely wrong here. Listen, I could be wrong, but he's the guy that I worried about. He's the guy that I worried about being away from their program for 4 months because he arrived. I don't know if he was out of shape when he arrived. I'll tell you this.
I don't know. I saw those legs in the locker room. You've seen those ham hocks.
He's thick. I don't know.
I thought he was just thick. I don't think he was.
But I don't see. But I don't know. But he's away from the program for 4 months, and now they're ramping up, getting ready to play, and he's not practicing.
Has Cassie said anything like that?
I'd have to go. I didn't listen to this morning's.
Because, you know, Cassie wouldn't be afraid to say something.
No. So he's out. And Kasha, and I'm writing about this. It's going to get posted probably an hour after, you know, we wrap up here. Kasha is this is a problem for me. He didn't arrive back in Boston for phase two. Now, phase two is voluntary. I understand that. You cannot get on a player for not being at a voluntary workout. But he played 6 games here. He didn't have a set spot in the lineup. He had no chemistry with anybody. Why are you not here? You needed to be here. I'm comfortable saying that you needed to be here more than any other player. You needed to be here for phase two. Okay, fine. You missed phase two. You want to be home in the Czech Republic. You don't want to be in Boston. It's probably safer there out of the jump. Whatever. That's fine. But you don't come here for phase two. And then you come in for phase three, at the last possible second. And when you come from Europe to North America, you got to quarantine. So you miss a few days of camp there because you're quarantining. Okay, fine, whatever. Then you get exposed to somebody who had COVID-19. And now you have to self-isolate all over again. Now you've missed phase three. And you needed phase three more than any other player on that roster. Because of your inexperience with this lineup, with this roster, with this organization, you needed to be there. You needed this more than anybody. You needed to be on the ice, and you weren't there. And Neely, when he held the court with the media, he said this. He goes, I wish, you know, he and Pastrnak came over sooner. I really wish they mapped that out. So they're pissed about it. Okay. And now the team is in Toronto, Kasha is still in Boston. He's not here yet. And who knows when he's get here. But when he gets there, when he gets to Toronto, he's going to have to take commercial flight, which means that he's going to have to quarantine for 4 days and have negative tests for those 4 days. So now he's already missing the first game of the round robin. So now if he arrives tomorrow or Thursday, who knows when he arrives, but if he arrives then, he might be in time for the second round robin game. But realistically, we're talking about this guy getting in one game before the postseason. I don't think he's going to make this lineup. I don't see how this happens. He has lost valuable time that he needed more than anybody else. And he messed around and he screwed it up. And this is bad. And it's going to end up, maybe it's fine. It's going to end up with Studnicka or Bjork getting a shot in the lineup, we would think. But to miss this time is so bad. And it looks so bad on him. A guy who's already had problems staying healthy in the league. And now he's going to miss this because he didn't manage time properly. I mean, it's a lost summer. It really does feel like a lost summer for him. And you think about, and I'm sorry for ranting here, but you think about Marcus Johansson.
Forget it. He's rolling.
You think about Marcus Johansson last year. Right? He gets hurt in the game against Carolina, right? And he misses, what, about a month and a half? And he comes back for the postseason. And he missed a few games in the postseason as well. In the first round against Toronto, I think it was like dehydration or a sickness. They said it was like a stomach ailment or something like that, but he missed a couple of games. It took him a little while to get ramped up again. And that was a month and a half. We're on 4.5 months since this guy last played for the Bruins. And now he's going to go from regular season pre-pandemic games to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I just don't see how he ramps up in time to be a factor for this team. And maybe he does. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm worried for nothing. And he's back in action. But this is bad. To miss all of phase two, to miss all of phase three. He was on for one skate. It was an optional skate that day too. To miss all of that, and now to miss practice in Toronto, this is not good for Andre Kasha. I do not see how he gets back into action and is the player that this team needs him to be, because they traded a first round pick to get him. They traded Axel Anderson to get him. They got out of the Backus contract, which is great, but they thought he was going to be a factor, and we haven't seen him. We haven't seen him since March. I mean, it's just not good.
I think you might have answered this like 40 minutes ago when you were in mid-rant, but
probably.
I guess if Cassidy sounded like he was pissed at him, I guess, but like I think maybe the only thing, the best case scenario for Andre Kasha is you can say like, oh, maybe he was late getting back here because of circumstances that were outside of his control. Like we don't know the whole story of why he took so long to get here, do we? Like, I don't know if there was something out there like why he was stuck in Europe or like maybe he was stuck there. Like that's the only explanation you can come up with. But like, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, everybody else made it. Everybody, even Pastrnak's back there now. You know?
Exactly.
Charlie McAvoy was out for a while. He's back, right?
Yep.
Like everyone's back, so what happened there? You know who would have been there? Dan Heinen.
Yep, Heinen would have been there.
Heinen would have done everything right.
David Backus would have fought the coronavirus, like literally fist fought it.
Yeah. And to be fair, like I don't want to pile on one guy because it's like they should be able to beat the Philadelphia Flyers without Andre Kasha. But as far as the round robin goes, I mean, you definitely could have used his speed against Tampa and Washington. So.
Yeah, and especially when you look at the utilization of him when he was here, That game against the Lightning, he played almost 19 minutes. You know, they want to get him on the same program as David Krejci. But you got to be here. You got to be here to do that. If you're not here, you know, what's the point? It's just it's a very difficult situation. And to your point, yeah, I don't want to pile on a guy for his pandemic, you know, precautions or whatever he's doing. But
something got messed up along the way. That's someone screwed up. I don't know if it was him, his agent, travel agents, someone back home.
And I think
like something got screwed up because when everyone else makes it and you're the one guy, you know, it's fair to take a closer look at it. It's like, what the hell happened?
Exactly. And especially I think that there's a, you know, the leaders set the tone for the Bruins, right? Always have, always will. And when Chara,
Bergeron, Marchand have been there for like since the start.
You know? They're the first day of phase two that they're there. And it's just disappointing to me to think about how badly this was mismanaged. And again, we don't have all the facts, so maybe something happened along the way that I'm not factoring in. But my overall point, I think, remains the same, that this might be a lost season for Andre Kasha. And when you're a win-now team trading a first-round pick for this guy, and you couldn't pull off other trades because you didn't have a first-round pick anymore, that's a problem. That's a problem. Yeah. You needed him here.
Scrutiny is absolutely justified.
Yes.
You know, so. I thought maybe it got a little over the top with Pasternak because it's like, guys, they haven't even left for Toronto yet. And lo and behold, he's back with the team. So the Kasha thing is way more concerning in terms of just his personal case.
Especially because we don't know the rope that he's going to have, right? Like, we didn't know the rope he was going to have to begin with, you know, when he came here, because he wasn't an automatic fit. I think that he did some things well. He was good in the forecheck. He was good using his speed, but he put himself in bad spots to get hit a lot, I was noticing.
That explains the health problems.
And he wasn't shooting as much as I thought he would shoot off the jump. So those are two issues. But again, I wanted the round robin to see where he fit. You know, I didn't know if he was a second liner or a third liner on this team. Now, I don't know at all. Where does he fit? like, and how does he get in? You know, and if they throw him in, you know, game three of their first round series, and he doesn't do anything, is he back to the press box? You know, like now, like the rope, the amount of rope he has is dwindling every day. Every day he's not here, it's going down, and that's a problem for him and for the team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If they lose, I don't think it's going to be because they lost Andre Kasha. It's just a frustrating situation, like you said, giving up the first-round pick for this guy. We hope he'd give you some value. I mean, on the games themselves, I guess we could start previewing games, since next time we talk, it'll be the round-robin will have begun. I think the Bruins are in a better spot to win the Cup compared to last year's team. In terms of just the size on their roster, do you think Jeremy Lauzon is locked in on the defense? Because I think he could be a very key player. Because last year they had Clifton in that spot, and Lauzon's got a couple inches on him. He's feisty. He's defensively responsible enough. He's a tough guy. I mean, I hope he helps, because like we said before, I thought they missed a guy like Kevin Miller in the lineup, so maybe Lauzon could play that kind of role. But I mean, also, I was going to point to Nick Ritchie. So I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. And did Chris Wagner got hurt? Did he get hurt in the Carolina series or St. Louis? I forget.
He was hurt in the Carolina series. He broke his wrist blocking a shot.
So maybe you could argue that they missed him too against the Blues.
Oh, they definitely did.
Maybe having him back will help. And you know, maybe like you said, maybe a guy like Stanika can come in and give you something close to what Kasha was going to give them. We don't even know what Kasha was going to give them. And on top of all that, if the top line plays like they're on a mission, which is, seems like they are, I think they'll be put themselves in a much better position to not only get through this round robin, which is tough, but it's going to be tough to win two games.
Give me your favorite, your top five teams, if you had to pick today, who you think are the top five to win the Stanley Cup. Given everything. I can go first if you want.
I'll go first because you are more informed and plugged in on this than I am at the moment. All right. Well, in the East, I'll give you the Bruins, Lightning, and Caps in the East. So okay. I'll give you two Western teams. Two Western teams, I'd say St. Louis and Vegas, I guess.
Okay.
Everyone loves Colorado, but I think they just lack the experience. They got plenty of talent.
Yeah, I
don't know
agree.
If they have enough in goal or as far as experience. So I would go with St. Louis and Vegas over them.
Yeah. I would say that.
Bruins, Caps, Lightning, Blues, Golden Knights are my top five.
All right,
five.
What if you had to pick one team from the play-in brackets? It can be East or West, doesn't really matter. But one of the teams playing in one of the play-ins, if you had to pick one team that you consider the most dangerous, who would that be?
I think I'd still stick with the Bruins in the East. Maybe that's a homer pick. If not, I'd probably pick.
No, I mean one of the teams 5 through 12. So one of the non
5 through 12. Okay.
Yeah, one of the teams not getting the round.
One team five. Jesus Christ! The fucking garbage that got into the playoffs this year.
No, it's very nice, isn't it?
I guess I would go with the Pittsburgh Penguins in the East.
And, yeah.
Let's see, in the West. Blackhawks made it? Jesus.
Yeah, which is
That's
great.
It's crazy
right?
that all the California teams are in the bottom, huh? Yeah, and in the West, I would say Nashville, I guess.
Okay. So I think we pretty much are in agreement that we're in agreement with our five. Like the big five, if you will. For me it goes Washington still scares me just because that team has had some time to get themselves right. Holtby struggled this year, but maybe he found the way here now with some time off to get his mind right. The Bruins, I think. Tampa Bay, I'm officially out on them. It's until you prove me wrong, I can't believe it anymore. I've fallen for it too many damn times. And especially with Stamkos, the injury concerns are a big one. Vegas, I think the fact they have Fleury and Robin Lehner is pretty damn good in net. And St. Louis, obviously, just the way they play, I think is conducive to, you know, success out of the jump. I would say that teams, though, 5 through 12, for me, I look at the Islanders or the Blue Jackets. If this is going to be ugly hockey, which we all think it's going to be, that benefits those teams.
Brad Marchand does.
Who can play that grind it out kind of hockey, win games 2-1, 3-2. The fact that Columbus is getting Seth Jones back is gigantic. They weren't going to have him for the playoffs if they made it.
Jeez.
Yeah, so he's back. That's gigantic for them. So I think that's a team to watch. And in the West, I probably look at Winnipeg. They were playing tremendous hockey at the time of the break, and they have Connor Hellebuyck, which is a fantastic addition in net. So yeah. I look at that. That's a team that I look at and say, okay, that they could make some noise here if they find their footing like they did when the league entered its pause, which is a tough ask. But I think those are – I'm looking at teams that can win games 2-1, you know, 3-2, 1-0 if they got it. And I look at those teams as teams that are built to do that right now, because that might be what we get here. You know, the timing, the offensive timing might not be there for a lot of these teams. You know, after one preseason game and a play-in round and a round robin, you know, you might have some kinks there you got to iron out. So I look at those teams that are built to win tight-checking games as potential sleepers.
Yeah, I think, like, on the opposite side of that coin, you'd look at teams like Carolina, Toronto, maybe even like Edmonton. These teams, it's like they might be screwed because they're so dependent on speed and skill, and everything's going to be so sloppy to start, and they don't play defense to begin with. So,
yeah,
like those teams.
That Carolina team is a mystery, man, because they had games where they looked phenomenal, like the team you saw last year, and then they had games where you're like, is this even the same roster? Like they just they never found their footing this year, and their goaltending situation, I think, is pretty scary even when they're healthy.
Yeah.
Mrazek and Reimer, you know. Reimer,
Alex Reimer in net, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, they got James Reimer in net. That's a tough duo for me to believe in, no matter the situation.
And at the same time, like maybe this is more of a chance for the hot goalie to carry a team, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's why, you know, again, that's why I put the Bruins – and the Golden Knights in sort of my one and two here because of Rask and Halak. The combo has gone since these guys have been together that if one's bad, the other one is like on fire. You know, so if that happens, I think they're in a good spot. You know, and if it doesn't happen, this will be the first time in the year and a half they've been together that they would not have been at least one of them being on their A game when they needed it.
Indeed. I think all we need is – I think just need this, the friggin' Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak line to wake the hell up, play like they were in the first three rounds, throughout the playoffs.
Did you see the ad that the Bruins ran out with Bergeron for the play?
Too young! Too young! What was it?
It was it was sexy. It had a clip of him. It was like a 10-second like ad, and it began with a close up of his face, and then it cut to like him like on the ice after the Game 7 loss, and him like walking back to the locker room after the Game 7 loss, and he's like, it's like I can remember that feeling, and he's like, I remember in 2011 too. He's like I want that, and it said like, and it had like some cool music with it, and it said like, still hungry or something like that. And I'm like, oof, that's good. That's good. I think if they're healthy, they're gonna be just completely on fire. Like out, we've said it from the jump, right? You know that this has felt like a revenge tour more than anything else.
Yeah, it would get me all hot and bothered if all of a sudden they'd start scoring at will and doing all their tic-tac-toe, dipsy-doo shit, and they just fucking roast teams offensively. But then it cuts to them, they're, like, barely even celebrating. They just have this stone-cold look on their face. They're like, I am going to murder every goaltender in this league. That's what I'm hoping for. It's like, yeah. I really need that, especially Marchand and Pasternak. Like, Marchand had, like, one of the worst head-up-his-ass moments that we've ever seen in that Game 7. And, like, I don't want that to define his career because he's turned into such an incredible player. Like, he doesn't deserve that one mistake to hang over him forever. So I really hope he redeems himself. Pasternak is younger. So, I mean, like, I think he should be afforded more time to, like, you know, to figure himself out as far as how he's going to play, how he needs to take his game up to another level in the playoffs. And, Bergeron's Bergeron. Like, he obviously should have scored more in the finals as well. But like he always does all the other things so well that like I'm not too worried about him. You need Marchand and Pasternak to start scoring like they do against Toronto against a bigger, tougher team. Like you're gonna see it with the Capitals. Like the Capitals have size everywhere, and I think that's one of the big reasons that they're so tough for the Bruins to get by.
Yeah, and honestly, when you look at Pasternak, right? Even last year with a broken thumb. In the playoffs, 9 goals, 19 points, 24 games. That's not horrible. You know, now imagine what he does if he's healthy. You know, I go back to that 2018 postseason where he had 20 points in 12 games. You know, like that, he was a monster in that Toronto series. And, you know, Tampa provided him more of a challenge that I think that he saw in 2017 against the Ottawa Senators where they were playing him physically, they were taking him out of the game. But I think at this point, you look at Pasternak, he's put on size, he's put on muscle. He seems more willing to battle now, and he understands what it takes to be, you know, an Ovechkin-level talent in this league. And I think that will – you're going to see that this postseason. I really do. I think that if he's healthy, you're going to see him realize that he is a superstar, yes, and he's going to get keyed in on. So how do you overcome that with your own strength? So I think that this is going to be a big postseason for him. He's had – this is now his fourth postseason, you know?
Yeah.
So let's see what he does.
You know, this discussion reminds me of Super Bowl 53 when I was there in Atlanta talking to guys on the defense. And it's like, you know, they were coming off like an embarrassing performance against the Eagles in Super Bowl 52. And pretty much everyone I talked to saying similar things, Adam Butler, Dante Hightower, guys like Kyle Van, they were all saying things like, it was a horrible, horrible way to for our season to end. We felt horrible about how we played. We don't ever want to feel that again. And they went out and delivered one of the most dominant Super Bowl defensive performances ever. So, I mean, I'm just hoping for a similar thing to happen with that line. Because, like, it all goes back to, like, I know I'd harp on the whole size thing. And I think if that size discrepancy didn't exist, then the Blues might not have won more than one game in that series. I thought eventually the Bruins' skill would take over in Game 7, but instead it went the complete opposite direction. But it does go back to all you needed was the top line to play like the top line usually does. And the Blues wouldn't have had – they wouldn't have had nearly enough firepower to keep up with them. So
I think over the final – similar thing. The final three games of that series, 5, 6, and 7, I think it was the top two lines scored 2 5-on-5 goals, and one of them was from Carson Kluhlman, which is like, you know, it's just not as recipes for success. So if they get anything out of that first line, you know, and I think that if that line produces at its typical rate, I shouldn't say anything. But if they produce at the rate that they've established that is their sort of their standard, I think this team will be in a great spot. It's just about keeping them upright, making sure Bergeron's groin is intact, making sure Pastrnak's thumb is okay, and making sure that Marchand's head is where it needs to be. Because when he's on, he's one of the smartest players in the NHL. You know, it's just he needs to kind of just be 100% there, and I have confidence that he will be, because I think this break was good for him.
One more guy we have to mention it before the playoffs start. You might know where I'm going with this.
I don't.
He's from Finland. He listens to Children of Bodom, and he wears number 40.
Oh,
like I feel like we'd post like a 5,000-word preview, mm-hmm. someone, and then you would tweet it. And then someone would literally within like 12 seconds of, go, but what about the cuckoo? Mm. It's like, yeah, thanks for reading, bud.
Yeah.
Do you think he needs to redeem himself, or is that too much to say? Because he was so incredible. He was on his way to winning the Conn Smythe if they won the cup. And I don't blame him for that Game 7 loss. But if they get back to that Game 7 of a Stanley Cup final, he might have to be shutout or bust. To Garasque, because he has to get his ring as like a starting goalie, or else it's like the chirps are going to be there forever.
I don't worry about him as much because of the fact that I think that he's just been excellent these last two seasons with Halak there. His advanced metrics again this season were phenomenal. Best even strength save percentage in the NHL. Best high danger save percentage in the NHL. Goals saved above average, I believe, was tops in NHL as well. So by every measurable metric, he was phenomenal again this year. And this offense, again, should be enough to sort of make up for his mistakes if he has a bad night. The thing that worries me with Tuukka is that he has been prone in the past to slow starts. And this is basically like starting the season over again. So
yeah.
That concerns me a little bit, but this is going back to what I was saying earlier, where Halak has been good when Rask has been bad, and when Halak's been bad, Rask has been great. So I think that that's something to sort of watch here. I almost want them to play the round robin like it's the preseason, and you give them each a start, and then you split one of the games down the middle where they both play half and half, just to get a read on where they are. You know, find out where these guys are at mentally, physically, and get a good read on where you're going to be in the postseason. This might be a postseason, honestly, where you have to employ the platoon. You might have to do it because of the way the games are going to be scheduled out of the gate. I don't know if you're going to have, you know, two off days.
Are there back to backs? Are they doing that?
It looks like there might be. It looks like there might be a couple. It all depends, but
they haven't made the official schedule, right?
No, just the round robin schedule so far. But if you have one rink, you know, what's the plan? Like, how do you do that? You're gonna have days where you play at noon, and then you're gonna have days where you play at 7. You know, it's just the way it is. So you may have to get creative with your lineup a little bit. I'm not saying that's gonna happen, but it might. And if it does, I like the Bruins. I like the Bruins a lot more than almost any other team. If they have to employ that kind of strategy.
Indeed. I can't wait for Hawk. I might explode in my pants when the game starts, just instantly.
We got one today at 4:00 on NBC.
I need to wear a diaper just in case.
You know that, right? We have one today at 4:00.
There's a hockey game today?
There is a hockey game today. We have the Flyers.
Well, it's an exhibition though. It's not the
Yeah, they can still watch it.
Yeah, I can watch it, I guess. But it's not like they're gonna they're gonna treat that like a almost like a glorified preseason. It's like it's gonna be beyond shit.
Are you sure about that?
They go, yeah, they don't want people getting hurt right before the season in the bubble.
But it's their only game before the round robin. And for Pittsburgh, it's the only game before the play-in. They need to get these guys up to speed. I think they're going to have a full lineup.
Well, strategy-wise, lineup-wise, they'll probably treat it like a real game.
Yeah,
I just feel like guys are going to do what they – I mean, even if they're not, like, consciously thinking about it, they'll instinctively not hit a guy or not hit a guy so hard.
Who's the first guy
to – not skate so hard.
Who's the first guy to throw a body check? Is Recco Gudas playing in this game?
Yeah. Is Rappy Torres still playing?
Rappy Torres, one of the great scumbags in sports.
Cook just goes on and gives him a clothesline from hell. In street clothes.
I don't know if Rappy Torres is a scumbag. He seems like it, though. I shouldn't just say that. I don't know.
No, yeah, other than the cracking guy's skulls open.
Yeah.
He's like a nice guy.
It's like Matt Cook was like a legit bad person. I don't know if Rappy Torres was just like playing a character.
Other than when he bludgeoned that guy with a fist and ended his career, he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. That I still say that Stanley Cup made me question the belief of hockey gods entirely. The one against the Canucks. Game-winning goals by Alex Burrows, Rappy Torres, Max Lapierre. I'm like, this is awful. They can't lose.
What is happening?
Yeah.
And then, even Dave Boland for the
Blackhawks. Yeah, you're like, this is awful. Yeah, I know.
And then all that shit with the Blues last year.
You know, the only thing that would have been worse is if Craig Berube scored a goal last year for the Blues somehow.
who was the guy that scored way too many goals for the Blues? They had some fucking... I forget.
I forget, too.
One of those fucking Frankenstein pieces of shit.
I just know they had Carl – I think it was, like, Carl Gunnarsson scored a goal.
Like that. I think it's Gunnarsson. Gunnarsson scored the overtime goal. I think that's what I'm thinking of.
It was, like, his first goal in, like, 1,000 games.
It was absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
And I think the Bruins were out playing them in that overtime, and that just one shot went by.
Yeah, it was – yeah. I mean, awful. Awful times, but whatever.
We are getting the Celtics back, too. You know? Oops! And as a veteran, I'm a veteran NBA reporter. I did 8 years at the Philadelphia Inquirer. I learned a lot from my former colleague, Stephen A. Smith. So I am a hoops expert, and I believe that the Celtics will have the best pick and rolls in the league. They will play the best off-the-ball defense, and they will shoot plenty of threes. And that is my key to success, along with Jason Tatum's new hairdo, which I believe is absolutely tremendous. And that is my basketball analysis.
What's your pick for the finals? I wonder if we have the same one. I got Celtics.
My pick for the finals, I'll go Lakers Bucks. I want the Celtics to win, but I just feel like this might be Giannis's time.
I got Celtics Clippers. That's what I got.
Celtics Clippers would be incredible. The last like two or three games between those teams have been awesome.
Yeah, so. For me, it's with the Bucks. It's keep in mind that the two games that Boston played against Milwaukee, they did not have Jaylen Brown. That's a massive difference. And I think that in this pandemic world, you need 3 to 4 guys. You need multiple guys that can take over a game. And I think that the Celtics have Tatum, Brown, Hayward until the baby's born. Kemba Walker, if his knee gets fixed. The Celtics have two guys right now that I look at and say they can do that. The Bucks, I don't know. If Giannis is cold or doesn't have it out of the gate, what happens? You know, what is their next move? So I think Celtics and Clippers, that's going to be my pick. But could be wrong. I don't know.
I feel like they have no way of defending.
That's the thing.
People
keep asking me for predictions when it comes – or people keep asking for predictions when it comes to this shit. We don't know.
Nobody knows what's happening.
We have no idea
what's going to happen. The world is on fire. Nobody knows.
Like, you can say Lakers, and that's a good pick. But what if LeBron gets COVID-19? You know what I mean? It's like, oh my God, now J.R. Smith is their best guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you really can't, or I'm sorry, Anthony Davis, but J.R. Smith would be their best, you know, their best backcourt presence. It's just not a good situation for a lot of teams or forecasting what's going to happen. You just don't know. You have no idea. So we're going to have
Make it sort of exciting. Sports is the ultimate, like, unpredictable thing. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
unless it's like Patriots, Bills, and the Tom Brady era. That's the only time you really knew it was going to happen.
And then
I just feel like they're not getting any positive tests, and you know they got the virus under control, so I think we're actually going to get a season in the NBA, which is good, and feels like the same in the NHL. And you wish these baseball and football idiots would have done something similar. But I think, like we covered before, it was just it might have been too unwieldy for the NFL to do anything other than carry on with a normal season, except with protocols in place, rather than doing like a whole bubble scenario. Our own Alex Barth is going to have a column dropping tomorrow about what he thinks an NFL bubble would look like. And like, yeah, my only quibble with it is that like I don't think they're actually going to be able to throw. They would actually be able to throw it together. But yeah, he basically lays out a whole scenario where they would have had like four bubbles, and they would have had to redo the whole schedule with teams in each bubble playing each other, and then you basically combine those standings into a playoffs. And I think it would have worked if they actually tried something, but they never tried anything.
Spoiler alert, the column is just a picture of the Georgia Dome. That's all it is. It's just the Georgia Dome. This is a bubble. Thank you.
Caption, suck it.
This is it. It's a bubble. Thank you.
This is the way.
That's gone now, right? They tore that down, the Georgia Dome?
The Georgia Dome, I believe, is gone.
Because they built that
monstrosity. They built the Mercedes-Benz Dome right next to it.
Okay, yeah, so that has to be gone then.
Absolutely spectacular.
Oh, it is gone. It is gone because there's that hilarious video of when they imploded it. A bus blocks a camera angles. a MARTA bus gets in the way of a cameraman shot.
I think he hears me.
He goes, "Oh, come on, bus!" He just
it's like it's the shot of the guy's life. He was gonna put that in his reel.
Oh, come on, bus! Get out of the way, bus!
Oh, damn it! Curb Your Enthusiasm music, please.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's perfectly NFL for something like that to happen, I guess.
It is. It is.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think they're gonna have. I think there's gonna be an outbreak, and hopefully, there's not the whole domino effect like we're seeing with the Marlins. That is my fear.
Yeah, it's just about honestly. It's just like you got to rely on people to be smart. And that's the problem, is that I just think that too many people are whether they deny the science, like they deny, you know, whatever, they can't be cooped up, which I totally understand. I feel that 100,000,000%. You're just asking a lot of people to be on the same page, which is very difficult to do, as you know. I mean, it's hard to get five people on the same page. Now we're going to get, you know, we're going to get 3,000 seems kind of hard. So,
right.
So we'll see.
Can't get everybody to fucking wash their hands and wear masks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just so. So we'll
just
see.
Just indicative of America.
I'm hopeful, but I don't want to get too excited because, again, 2020, poop year. It is a poop year, and poop things happen in a poop year.
Year of poop. But we're back in full swing. You and I. Not to get back into the stuff that we started with, but I think it was good for me to have the time off. I've been taking a lot better care of myself physically and mentally, and I think it's helping. I'm spending less time on Twitter. I've been tweeting a decent amount lately now that I've been back to work full time. But I'm just trying to stay out of the mentions because that's the shit that usually sends me on a spiral. I don't want to argue with people. I just want to throw stuff out there, and if you don't like it, that's fine, but I'm just trying to have fun. Just trying to have fun. Sports media is supposed to be a fun job.
Yeah.
We get to cover professional sport. We have to write about professional sports and yap about it on a podcast, you know, where it's should be the most fun job in the world.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Too many people
that.
Out there to try to make it not fun. And I used to look at those people with utter disdain, and now I just look at them and it's like, dude, I hope you find something that makes you happy rather than yelling at someone on Twitter for having a sports opinion. You know?
I got you. Well, we got our sports opinions. They're on this podcast, and hopefully people like it.
How have you been able to avoid going on Twitter at all? Because you're like the king of scrapping with idiots. I mean, I feel like that's going to ramp up now if you're going to start tweeting during Bruins games. Now you're going to get the rass takes, and you're going to get the poop storms.
So for the first time in my life, I've turned on the quality filter on Twitter, which is just it kind of weeds out some of that stuff. But also, I don't know. I'm just focused on what I'm doing more than what everyone else is saying. You know, I think that when you try to appease everybody, you don't appease yourself.
Nope. And you might end up pleasing nobody.
Exactly.
I learned that a lot. I've ruined some friendships trying to please everybody. So.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to, I don't know, for me, this is like a weird kind of like philosophy that I have, but if it's not fun, I don't want to do it anymore. Like, because this job is supposed to be fun. To your point, the job's supposed to be fun. And if I'm not enjoying myself, if I'm not happy and I'm letting other people make it misery for me, then I should quit and go do something else in my life, because this is a cool job and somebody should enjoy it and appreciate it. And I think that that's something that I'm kind of learning about myself, is that I'm going to say no to things that I don't think bring me joy anymore. And, you know, some of those things include fighting with idiots, you know, fighting with people who disagree with me. Like, all right, if you disagree with me, let's talk about it. Let's have an actual conversation. Let's not just scream at each other and hurl insults. And if we do hurl insults, let's have it be, you know, funny. Let's not have it be like, oh, you're a piece of shit and fucking you know, I hope you die. Like, I don't want that.
No.
Call me like an idiot. You know, call me Bobby McMuffin, of course. My favorite fictitious Bruins player.
Did he make it to Toronto?
No, he got COVID on purpose for some reason. As part of a $20 dare, he got it on purpose.
Yeah, I heard the whole Cape Cod League got it.
Basically, yeah. It turns out the rinks in Hanover are not that great.
Can't play hockey in the middle of Wellfleet.
No, but that's a big thing for me now, is I think I open Twitter like once a day, like on my phone, and I just look at like what I missed, and then I go, all right, bye. And like, that's it. Like, I don't feel the need to be on it constantly anymore. It's funny. There's a group chat with myself and some of the other, you know, younger writers on the Bruins beat. And they're always like, oh, did you see this? And my new thing is like, I'm like, no, I have no idea what we're talking about. I did not look at it at all. I have no idea.
That's good.
And so, yeah, it's been good for you. I just think that being on, I feel the same way about TV. Right, that if you watch cable,
oh, fuck TV. TV.
If you watch cable news 24 hours a day, it's going to rot your brain. And I think the same thing about social media. I think the same thing about just the internet in general. You cannot be on it 24 hours a day. And I think with our jobs, that's kind of tough, right? The part that sucks about our jobs, and I know how I sound because we write about sports for a living, and it's 98% enjoyable. But the part that sucks is that you have to be on call 24 hours a day, and sometimes you don't want to be on social media, sometimes you don't want to be, you know, seeing what everyone is saying at all times. Like, it's just too much. Yeah. Way too much. So I think that that's something that I, using the break, I kind of analyzed about myself and said, well, I don't want to be part of that anymore, so I'm going to respect my space now more than ever before. And I think that's for anyone who is struggling in their career or whatever it is. As hard as it is, you have to unplug sometimes. You got to just unplug. And if you work for a company that understands that, you're going to be in a good spot.
Yeah.
If your boss is a dick and doesn't let you unplug, then you need to look in the mirror and say, okay, maybe I should go do something else then, where I'm going to be allowed to have a balance. And I can't say enough great things about our boss, Tim, letting me.
Oh, right. No, this is not, we're not talking about our own company. They give us, we have freedom. We have a nice balance. So that's not the problem.
I'm just speaking.
The problem is the platforms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Twitter itself.
But I
fuck you, Jack Dorsey. I'm watching you.
I think that's a problem with, this is a whole, I feel like Kyrie Irving right now. This is the whole society thing right now, we just work 24 hours a day, right? You just work. Your value as a person is sometimes determined by how productivity you are, how much, you know, productivity you have, which I don't think is accurate, you know? And so I think that's something I'm trying to break out of myself, you know,
you spend enough time off social media, you start to realize how little you miss it. And like, this is honest, this is advice that I want to impart on people that I like on Twitter. even people that I don't like or people that don't like me.
Yeah.
Like, just next time you go to argue with someone or shit on someone, it's like, think about what you really are going to gain from that. You know?
Yeah.
Think about what do you really have to gain from bickering with even someone you know, let alone a stranger, about just like a random sports topic. Especially if it's something where, like, there's no need to, like, immediately jump into the mud and fight about it. And, like, you could wait for more information. Like you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, we don't know why. We don't know why all these players on the Patriots are opting out and there's not as many across the league. We don't know if there's going to be more players. Like, right now it seems like, oh, the Patriots are having a mutiny and everyone else is playing. Like, I think we're going to see a lot more players opting out in the coming days. Like, I don't think it's time. Like, obviously, the Patriots are going to be – they're going to suck. They should tank for Trevor. Like, that shit's already starting. It's like, what is the fucking point? Like, I get if you have – a radio show or a podcast to do it, then, yeah, you have to give your opinion at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be a pretty boring podcast if you just keep kicking everything down the road. Like, yeah, you know, let's wait and see. But some things you do have to wait and see. You don't have to immediately get in the ring and punch each other in the face via tweets for you said, for hours on end. There's nothing productive about it.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I realized just taking the time away, and I think it was Maz say, hey, yeah, treat it like a Molotov cocktail. You know, just throw it and run away. You know, like that's I think that's what we got to do with our tweet. If you have to tweet something, I tweeted like maybe five or six things today. Mm-hmm. Trying to make them all humorous. I think most people got it. and like I threw them out there and left. I tried not to reply to much. I tried not to, you know, get into whatever if they disagree with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's okay to disagree. And I get that the people aren't going to go away. So the only option you really have is to make them go away. And, you know, it's easy to make them go away if you just turn it off. And that's what I've been doing.
And, yeah, exactly.
I didn't need to be getting in all these get in the middle of all the Twitter spats and everyone rotting each other's brains out. I feel like everybody would be better off if they did that.
Yeah, and what I'll say, this is my closing thought on the whole mental health thing, is if your brain and your body are telling you something, just listen. Just don't keep making excuses for yourself. I did for you.
Oh, it's the children that are wrong.
It's just I would always make excuses, be like, oh, I'm just tired. Oh, I'm just this. I'm just that. Like, no, there was something going on with me that I'm happy that I took the time to say, I need to take a step back here and get back to my roots, get back to loving what I do. And you know, it's still a process. I'm not 100%, but I feel like I'm getting there. And so that's all I can ask is just, you know, that stupid cliche, get better every day, right? That's what you want to do. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I'm excited that we're going to have some coverage for the Bruins and the Celtics and obviously the Patriots as well, and we'll see where that goes. But I think right now I just want to focus on being the absolute best that I can be for the website, and everything else will fall into place. That's all I care about.
You can leave it at that. If you made it this far, thank you very much. I love you. Much love and appreciation to all our fans, all our listeners, everyone who loves our tweets, who loves my videos, who loves Ty's columns and his takes and all that stuff. We've been taking care of ourselves, and I think it's going to reflect in our work. I think we're going to be putting out some good stuff. I'm going to try to have fun with my columns. I hope you enjoy reading my stuff. I hope you enjoy watching my videos. I hope you enjoy everything we do. And if you don't, that's okay too. But I just hope you, if you're angry about something, please just take a look at yourself and see if you can help yourself, because I want everybody to feel good about themselves, and I don't want anybody projecting their anger onto anybody else. I wish we would just treat each other better. And I know I'm just a random guy from Boston. It's not going to have a ton of people listening to this very podcast, but I hope we all get better as a country, as a culture, which I know it might be a lot to ask in a year like this, but I think we will come out of it better on the other end. Cause you know, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. So thanks for listening. It's the Sports Up Sidelines podcast. We'll talk to you again next week.